and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Well, good evening, everyone. I am Khalif Zapnapar-Niel, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Today, our nation is caught again in the crucibles of national social difficulties. And we're going to tackle this issue tonight with a degree of hope and faith and love. These are trying times and very tense times, to say the least, for all of us. And we are going to look at where we are, where we've been, and where we are going. And so I'm thankful, again, to you, those of you in the BBS radio audience, and those of you who are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Now, of course, I know we've all heard the news today that on last evening there was a shooting in the Emmanuel African Methodist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and exactly what is going on. I want to start off by reading an email that I received today from coalition group that I'm in of what is called a conservative black coalition. And I want to start off by reading that tonight, if I can get to it on my phone here while I'm speaking with you. It starts off, and this is from Wayne Perriman in Seattle, Washington. Dear friends and clergy colleagues and president of the National Bar Association, after hearing about the South Carolina shooting of 9 black church members and their pastor, please pray that we do not have a long, hot summer. With the shooting of blacks by white police officers and other blacks being victims of injustices, America is sitting on a powder keg. Black gang members have guns, and during the Obama administration, whites purchased more guns and bullets than at any other time in history. See article below. We have some noise coming in someplace there. I attended the gun show. We have a little echo there. I think that's coming from my bishop there. Okay, let me put you on mute just for a minute. I'll bring you back. Okay. All right. I attended the gun show at the Washington State Paulia Fairgrounds a couple of years ago, and there were so many whites purchasing guns, the fire department closed the doors, would not let others enter until others vacated. The line to get in was over 3 blocks long. I, along with others, waited some 2 to 3 hours just to get into the show. Only seen 3 blacks out of the thousands of whites purchasing guns since Obama has been in office. There have been rumors among many white conservative colleagues that the government will initiate a gun control law and that it was buying up much of the ammunition on the market. Whites all over America were flocking to gun shows. See some of the articles below. It's not too late to pray and to demonstrate the love of God, regardless of what police and the justice system is doing to Black Americans. Black Americans, white Americans, and ethnic
what
Americans.
What are you spreading hatred?
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Am I coming in? Can you hear me? All right, I'm sorry. Let me start off with this paragraph. It's not too late to pray. And Elijah, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I coming in clear?
Yes. What you need to do is go to the mute and just hit mute all.
Well, okay. Mute off. Okay. Off.
All callers are unmuted.
Now you need to mute them.
Okay, I need to mute.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
There you go.
Okay. All right. It's not too late to pray and to demonstrate the love of God, regardless of what the police and the justice system are doing to Black Americans. Black Americans, white Americans, ethnic Americans of all races must come together and pray. This is where I want to deal with tonight. I want to read that one more time. And this should resonate with us. It should resonate. Because this is where I want to be. It says, Black Americans, white Americans, and ethnic Americans of all races must come together and pray. Black lives do matter, but apparently whoever shot the 9 Black didn't think so. Many of the law enforcement business and criminal justice system only know what they were taught in law school. Most do not know how to pray. For answers. They only act after the fact. So you can't put your trust in them to prevent violence. So they don't know what the Lord requires of us, as expressed in Micah 6 and 8. Oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? This is not their motto or their theme. This is the motto and theme for those who put their trust in God. It's summer, and remember that, it's summer, listen. And our children are out of school, out of work, and out of patience. And if you do the math, that can equal some very unpleasant times for all of us. It won't be the criminal justice system that will stop potential violence. It will be the saints of God and their prayers. Let's not wait for people to die on the streets or be treated unjustly because of their race before we start praying. Pray now. See the headlines below and click on their articles. So now there are a lot of articles here that we could go through, but one of the articles was talking about the recent surge in the purchase and acquisitions of guns and ammunition, so forth and et cetera. Now, what I want to say tonight is that I agree with the portion about prayer. Timing is everything. And regardless of how you look at the situation, when you move it beyond the discussion, I think, Bishop from Louisiana, when you move this discussion outside the arena of the courts and considerations and caucuses and the scrutiny and analysis of humanity and mankind to the intelligence of a creation and a creator, we must ask, what is the intelligent design and the controlling forces? What is really happening here at a metaphysical level as well as at a spiritual level? So the question to be raised tonight is not a question that we are raising to any bar on this earth, but rather it is a question that's being raised to the highest bar, the cosmic mind, to see what intelligent design there is behind what we're seeing. So when we view what has happened, we look at it not from the myopic view or ground level view, but we elevate ourselves above the situation, remove ourselves from the situation, and look at it from an elevated position of a panoramic view, to move it into the realms of cosmic design and intelligence. What is the source of all of this? And when we see those that are in control of our systems, in control of our governments, in control of law, in control of science, and in control of religion, and we see they are singing the same songs, I am not looking for an answer from those that are in political position, nor am I looking for an answer from those that are in social positions, education. This is not something that can be answered again from those in the established religion. We must raise this to the bar of cosmic consciousness and the design behind this. Now, those that are manipulating those religion, law, and science are operating at levels that we don't have time to talk about tonight in full detail. But I want to isolate one or two things for this discussion tonight. And that is what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, is a ritual religious sacrifice. Now, again, not looking to any earthly culprits, not even the young man who went in and sat there for an hour in a Bible study in one of the oldest black churches in America. And let me hurry to offer my condolences to those families that I don't sound insensitive. Sat for an hour in a Bible study and makes an announcement that he's come to shoot black people. What is on this person's mind? What is the level of consciousness? Where did this come from? How did this happen? What is the reason for it? Now, we can fumble around with political savvy and talk about the senator that was the pastor there. We could talk about, as I heard today, certain key, powerful political figures who were scheduled to come but did not come to that city, which would seem to indicate that there is some knowledge of something that would happen based upon the cancellation. Certain powerful political figures canceled their trips to this city. But more importantly, what is going on? There's much talk about microwave technology and brain waves and those that are in control of our sciences that understand the disciplines of the sciences that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Bishop from Shreveport, I took you off mute for a minute. Do you have any thoughts on this subject? Bishop from Louisiana, from Shreveport.
Yeah, Bishop. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What kind of thoughts do you have on this subject?
Well, we are, as you say, and we are in the middle of this Shemitah, and somebody has to be the sacrifice. And it's a very scary situation when it comes to the church, you know, because the book said that judgment shall start at the house of the Lord. And I believe that it also has to do with the movement of the equinox, and it is tied into the procession of the sun, and it also connects with our Bible, because one of the stories in the Bible concerning Jesus, we find that John is threw in jail for talking about Jesus, and he hadn't done
this
nothing.
This conference is being recorded.
John is threw in jail. Jesus goes free and forget about John. He actually leaves him there and walks away. And the same thing happened in the constellation. That same story connects with what the sun does in his procession every day. One month in the constellation brings us to prison. It's between Aquarius and Pisces. But as far as what's going on with this killing, and it's pointed at the black pulpit. And my thing is, and I ask myself all day long, what will the black pastors be preaching come Sunday morning? What are we going to do?
That's a pretty good question. Let's analyze what we are in terms of the precession, if you will, of the equinox, and analyze this from the standpoint of what you mentioned concerning the Shemitah, and in particular the 2014-15 blood moon tetrad, which are four blood moons that fall on Jewish feast days of Passover and then fall on Yom Kippur. So we want to look at what that means and what actually is happening, that these feast days actually fall on what we call cardinal days. Cardinal, and I don't want to confuse anyone, simply means the spring and fall equinox and the winter and summer solstice. These two points in the precession of the sun and its ecliptic, as the earth moves around the sun, brings four cardinal points, four, if you will. And those cardinal, the word cardinal means vortex or opening or door. And these doors or openings are mentioned in the Bible. Of course, we never would equate them to the summer solstice, which is 3 days away, which will be an opening, a vortex. And the vortex opening way to through the heavens to the earth to impact and to influence the earth. But now we're caught in a Shemitah. So let's take the Shemitah, which is a 7-year period where, according to the law, and we are operating, we can We can follow this. We can measure this. We can look at it. We can examine it. That's Smita every 7 years since 1966, and then 1973, and then 1980. We had a hard recession in 1987. We had Black Monday, 1994. We had a bond market crash, 2001. Of course, everyone knows about the infamous 9/11 and the stock market crash. And then in 2008, the next 7 years, we had what is called the stock market crash of 777 points. And now we're in 2015, 7 years after 2008. And this particular time now falls on a blood moon T-trine. What happens at the T-trine? Well, historically, as we look at history, and we go back in history, beginning in 1493 and 94, and then moving forward to 1949 and 50, 1967, and 1968 were all blood moon T-trine periods. We've had three in the last 500 years. And this one in 2014 and 15, they are the fourth blood moon T-trines that fall on feast days. These feast days fall on these points, both cardinal points of the spring equinox and fall equinox. And of course, they're close in the summer solstice, which we are approaching. So three of these openings or portals fall. Now, what I have observed and paid attention to in history is that during the blood moon T-trine of 1493 and 94, in 1452, Pope Nicholas V issued what is called the Bull Dom Diversus, which was a papal bill or bull authorizing the enslavement of all African people. There was tremendous African sacrifice. This is an African Methodist church. I'm trying to add context to this. Stay with me, if you will. History shows that during this blood moon, there was slaughter of people of Africa. The false flag is something that I call a false flag, something that runs concurrent with this in history that I call a false flag, and that was the expelling of the Jews from Spain. 1949, 50 blood moons. Again, we have the Korean conflict and war, massive blood loss, massive loss of life. False flag, 1948, the Balfour Treaty, to distract attention away from this massive sacrifice that's occurring during the Korean War. 1967 and 68, blood moons, of course, we know Vietnam. Vietnam. Vietnam happened in 19—well, we were already in the conflict, but the Vietnam conflict was raging high. False flag is 1967, famous Six-Day War, where the Israelis recaptured Jerusalem to distract the attention away from the massive loss of life in Vietnam. Massive loss. Massive blood spill. Is this a coincidence? I'm pointing out history to you. And then, of course, 1967, the execution, 1968, the execution of Dr. Martin Luther King, April the 4th, 1968, 9 days before, watch that number nine, it's very important, 9 days before the blood moon, 9 days before April the 13th, on which a blood moon fell on Passover. That's an execution 9 days before of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Coincidence? Let's talk about it. Now we get to 2014 and 15. We have four blood moons. Coincidentally, as I watch the Ebola breakout, 2014, October the 8th, 2014, blood moon, Eric Duncan comes to the United States. He's contracted Ebola. He dies on October the 8th, 2014, right on the blood moon. Again, the focus is on Africa. False flag, I haven't identified that just yet. Now we're in 2015 with a super blood moon that's coming up September the 28th, where the moon will be. So what are we looking at? These people are practicing some kind of hidden science here that's based upon the cosmology and astrology of what's going on above us. What are they practicing? What science, what Prisca Theologia, the holy, sacred science are they practicing? Hiding the practice of this science from us by giving us religion. I'll say that very slowly again. Hiding what they are doing, the practice of what they're doing, by giving us religious substitutes as a distraction as to what they are really doing. Now, the Bible in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 said, after these things I looked and I saw a door open in heaven. And I want to talk a little bit about that door that's open in heaven. That's something that's, if you look at it religiously, you'll miss what's actually being said, because what is being said in the text is not really what is meant. It is pointing to something. It's pointing to something that's actually happening. But if you take it literally, and this is what the Romans did to us, by giving us a literal version of the Bible, and for us to take it literally and miss the meaning of what the text is trying to imply. Now, coming up this June, 3 days, 21st, this Sunday, the vortex will open. That means something can go through, come into this dimension, and something can go out this dimension. Now, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with what has happened today? To create a consciousness of fear, to create a consciousness of anxiety, trepidations, to create a fear of division, disunity, and chaos, a consciousness of chaos. To create this, why is that important when at this particular time, when this door is open on June the 21st, Sunday, when this door, because of something called a quantum field that has particles inside of it. And waves and vibrations, that we are all connected to this quantum field, including our very thoughts. And to create a collective consciousness of fear by broadcasting images of little girls being abused by police brutality in swimsuits in two places, police killing people, and now this massacre, it creates a collective consciousness for this time. A collective consciousness of fear, which is energy, that will go into this vortex. And as it goes into this vortex and connects to the quantum field, the particles, the atoms, or the atomic structure of this quantum field, although it is invisible, we have pictures of the filaments that connects this quantum field to us, of everything in the universe, is connected. So to create this consciousness will also bring a planting of a seed into this fabric that will bring about chaos for a harvest that will come right at the harvest time. And when is the harvest time? September. The harvest time, the laws that govern the earth in terms of seed time and harvest, planting and reaping and harvest, are consistent with the cosmic law of planting and harvesting. So that
what we see physically is caused by something that we cannot see invisibly. And this door that we're talking about, the planting of this consciousness of fear, of division, of conflict, of chaos, of pain, of murder, and of mayhem, take it, keep going with it, is an attempt by those who understand this sacred science and these laws to bring chaos upon this earth. And I'm almost finished with this. So they sell you religion to cloak and to hide the sacred science that they are practicing. And because they understand the ancient principles of purba, which is the harvesting of the soul body, the energies, the photonic and protons, energies, subtle energies of the body, that's of our soul body, not of our physical body, bodies. But they understand how to harvest these energies. And not only are they harvesting these energies, they're also harnessing these energies. How are they harnessing these energies? They understand this science. They understand the science. That is the long and short of it. It is my suspicion that because they understand the harnessing and the harvesting of these energies, soul's energies, that they are using the photonic protons, the atomic atoms, and placing them in the CERN Hadron Collider, the particle accelerator that's 17 miles long, and can shoot these protons faster than the speed of light into the vortex, into this dark matter that we're talking about, to open up vortexes. And if that consciousness of the people whose soul, body are being harvested has been doused and saturated in fear, they then shoot this into the dark matter, which is intelligent matter. And it will then yield, because everything produces after its kind. If you plant peas, you get peas. If you plant beans, you get beans. If you plant fruit, apples, you do not get oranges. And so those laws are still consistent. So if you plant fear into the souls of those that are being sacrificed, and you know how to harness and harvest these energies and shoot that into the filament of dark matter, then what you do is you reap a harvest of total chaos. And that is coming at the exact precise time of the harvest that will be coming this September. So how important is it for us now, as the brother on the email that sent me, Brother Wayne Perriman, how important is it for us to stand down, to stay anchored in love? Love is the absence of fear. Love is the absence of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Do not be moved by this fearful sight, as awful as it is, as hideous and heinous as it is, as decrepit and degenerate as it is, do not be moved by what we see in the media. It is the subtle manipulations of our consciousness to move us so that they can harvest our energies to create a world of chaos that will come during what is called the Smitah at September the 23rd at 2015, 9/23/2015, on the Day of Atonement, the day of harvesting. It is the fall harvest when the fruit, when we go to pull the fruit and store the fruit of summer and spring,
the final harvest. Well, that harvest corresponds to also spiritual principles and spiritual energies. This is what I believe that they're seeking to do. Now, I've tried to explain this. Now, the problem that we're going to have, Brother Abbott, is that if history doesn't ring our bells and we can't see the spiritual significance of, you ask the question, what will preachers preach when they go to the pulpit this Sunday? What will they preach in their pulpits? If they do not preach release and fear, and love and truth and freedom, justice and peace, if they feed into this trap that's being set to be reactionary to what the system, be it whomever it may be, is trying to lure us into a trap. Be it whomever it may be, are trying to subtly force us into this trap of reaction to create a consciousness so that they can create a world of chaos, and that will be the harvest that we will reap come this harvest time, which will fall in September. And that is based upon another cardinal point. Now, I could get into the details of the Bible and explain to you some of the mystical things that this book is talking about over here in the fourth chapter of Revelation. It talks about the door that's open, talks about the throne that's sitting there, and the seven spirits there around the throne, and talks about the 24 elders that are seated. They have golden crowns. They have harps. Could talk, all that's beautiful imagery. This is how people talk in parabolic or symbolic fashion. You can't take this literally. And it talks about the four beasts, one with a head like a lion, one with a head like a calf, one with the head, the face of a man, and then the fourth beast was like that of an eagle. All of those have to do with astrology. The head of the lion is Leo. The brightest star in Leo is Regulus. The head of the man is Aquarius. Head of the eagle was a symbol of Scorpio in the old genera, in the old zodiac. And the head of the ox, of course, is Taurus. You are talking about something that's going on, that's hidden in this religious language of a beast with four heads, but actually it's talking about a constellation and the precession, Brother Abbott, what you were talking about a moment ago. Precession of the equinox, and in particular, the sun, with its seven rays, the 24 divisions of the heavens, the 24 elders, or in the Bible, it's the 24 courses of priests. There were 24 courses. But if you think that you're looking at an actual course of priests and not understanding that there's 24 divisions of the heavens with 88 known constellations, then you don't know what you're looking at. You missed the point. You got lost in religion, and you missed actually what the story was trying to point you to. No different than in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, Brother Abbott, where it talks about Solomon's temple being made, but there was not a sound of any tool heard in the construction of this temple. Utterly impossible. So you're not talking about a literal temple. It's not possible to have built a temple of megalithic proportions of what we have read in our Bibles of Solomon's temple, and not to have any tap or tick or hammer or clang, no sound of any tool. So what are we talking about? As we look at that temple, we understand that it is an allegory, or it is a metaphor that points us to our bodies, our temple. It has a winding stairwell. The winding stairwell, of course, is our spinal cord that goes up to the middle of my brain and the middle chamber and the covering cherubs that cover the mercy seat or the altar, the cerebrum of the brain covering the pineal and pituitary bodies in our brain. It is a beautiful picture of the human temple. But if you think that you're looking at a literal temple that Solomon built without the construction, without any sound of any tool, you miss that critical, important point that it was pointing you to something that is constructed without the sound of any tool, which is the development of the human temple in the womb. As it goes through the gestation period, there is no contractor or engineer inside of the womb using hammer, saw, or whatever, constructing the marvelous construct and the fearfully and wonderfully made human temple body. There is no sound of any tool being used. And that is what that text points you to. But it is difficult to convince people who believe what is real is not real, and who believe what is not real is real. People believe that the Solomon's temple was really real and pay very little attention, if any at all, to their temple and the construct of that. And that proves how thoroughly we have been deceived to believe that which is not real is real. That which is impossible and by any logical rationale could not be real with any processes of critical thinking and evaluation could never have been done. We are convinced, and that's a thoroughly good job that they've done, to convince us that what is not real is real, and what is real is not real. So, that's it for tonight. Let's open up Q&A here. And, Elijah, I see you have your board on. You want to open up Q&A for us? How are you?
I'm good.
Q&A session started.
All right. You can come into this discussion. We left plenty of time tonight. I lost a very dear friend of mine. We've been wrestling with him for the last few days in the hospital, and we come through the ranks together. I performed his wedding in 1998, I believe it was, and he passed away on today. So my spirit is somewhat heavy today. But I'm here and in good spirits. Although it's heavy, I'm still in good spirits. Dawood is in 313. Hotel, my brother. Hotel.
It's not Dawood, this is Mac.
Malkut, Kingdom.
Yeah. I can understand what you're saying, but you got to realize they've been tricking us. Because they told us in the Bible, don't believe no astrology and all this. Now my next question is, where did they get their information from?
Well, how can you not? Let me answer this this way. In the Bible it says, the wise men from the east came to they came to Bethlehem. They said they had seen, now watch this word, his star. And they followed his star. Didn't say a star, it didn't say the star, but it said, we followed his star that points to the time of his birth. You cannot detach the birth of your biblical Savior from astrology. That one scripture ties your biblical Savior and his birth as being charted or guided by the stars. Am I making sense?
I understand what you're saying, but when you go to these churches, even the churches that I've been in, they tell us not to deal with astrology. That's the devil worship. But the powers that be use it. Now my question is, where did it come from? And if you're talking about Christ in Jerusalem, that's a misnomer. We got proof on that. We found out where the manger was at and where Christ, however you want to call it, where he was actually had birth. It was not in Jerusalem.
Well, I said Bethlehem, but I'm simply, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm not misunderstanding. I mean, we all got our opinion, but the only thing we got to do is do our research.
Okay, but my issue is not so much where he was born or if he was born. What I'm pointing out is the connection between astrology and this person that we call Jesus, whether he was born in Jerusalem or Ethiopia in a cave, or whether he was born in Bethlehem, whether he was born in Rome, and of course that throws the whole story off. But that's not my point. My point is the connection between the birth in this Bible and the star, simply. And whether the story is real, whether he was born, or whether he wasn't born, whether he was really a person or really wasn't a person. That's not what I'm saying. But now, where did they get this from? Good question. Let me move to that. Because that is easily answered in the Washington Monument and what they falsely call Cleopatra's Needle in Paris, in London, in Central Park in New York, and in the Vatican Square. It's not called the Vatican. It's not called Cleopatra's Needle in the Vatican. But these monuments, these pillars that look just like the Washington Monument, that is written with the hieroglyphic language, the language of Egypt, on them, has found its way to Vatican, to the Vatican, to Rome, the church. It has found its way to Paris, to London, to Central Park, and to Washington, D.C. Now, what is this monument? What is this obelisk that we see? Of course, without being profane and volatile in my vernacular, in my speech, it is a phallic symbol. It is a phallic symbol of an erection, an erected phallus. But where did it come from? In each of the cases that I mentioned to you, in each of the cities, those monuments or obliques came out of Egypt. And they are a symbol of Amen-Ra. Now, you've got to ask yourself, in a Christian context, what is a pagan oblique from Egypt doing at the Vatican? You want to know where they got it from? The sacred science that they're using on you? You want to know where they got the astrology from? And this oblique is an electrical instrument. The very shape of it dictates a frequency as it is placed upon certain ley lines upon the earth to throw out electromagnetic frequencies to create an electromagnetic field, energy field. They are controlling energies that will affect brain waves and the central nervous system. Now, if you get lost in the religious side of it, and you become religious with it, you miss the science, and you miss what they're doing. Just as Washington, D.C. is laid out in a 10-mile square according to the patterns of sacred geometry, they're controlling brain waves, frequency. Everything is energy, vibration, frequency, and wave. everything, including us, including me, including you. This is the science that they're working on, including your thoughts. So these monuments, this science, this story even that you have in your Bible, even that monument that's in Vatican of Amun-Ra points to the fact that the Jesus who calls himself Amen in Revelation 3:14 is none other than Amen of Egypt, who's 3,000 years old. And what are you looking at? Electromagnetisms. You're looking at frequency, vibration, as if you were looking at the Ankhs, as you're looking at these obliques, as you're looking at sacred geometry, you're looking at chemistry or alchemy. All of these sciences and this knowledge came from Egypt, stolen out of Egypt, redressed, given back to you as religion, took your story, rewrote your story, copied it, gave you the story, your own story, and gave you the religious side, but did not give you the knowledge side. So this is why I doubt very seriously if there was ever a Jesus Christ. And once you get your mind past that hurdle, once you pass that hurdle, which is a very difficult hurdle to pass in our culture, because the Romans and the advent of Jesus Christ run concurrent. Let me say that again. The advent of Jesus Christ and this story of a Savior who dies for our sins as a physical man and the advent of the Roman Empire are concurrent. That's 2,000 years old. What did people do before? What was the religion of people before? What was the spiritual system of people before there was? How did people before 2,000 years ago find the plan of salvation as it is told in your Bible? Plan of salvation. Let's go back 20,000 years ago. Let's go back not that far. Let's come up 10,000 years ago. What is the plan of salvation outside of this person we call Jesus Christ in Egypt? Let's come up 5,000 years ago. What is the person of salvation that is told in Egypt? Is a guy named Horus, who has 12 followers. He's baptized by the baptizer Anu. He is killed and resurrected. He's called the way, the truth, the life. He's called a good shepherd. And who is Horus? Horus, the same word we get hour from, like hour of the day, or horizon, or horoscope. Horus is the sun. Also the emblem, the eye of Horus on the back of your $1 bill. What are they practicing? What is this pyramid on the back of your $1 bill? There are no pyramids in, well, I can't say that. Yes, there are. I was about to say there are no pyramids in the Americas, but they are because we came over here thousands of years ago and we built pyramids in Mexico and in South America and up and down the Mississippi River and other places. We built the pyramid mounds, the mound builders. Of course, you know about that. So, but this is where they got it from. I hope with all of that, I satisfied your question.
Well, I got to say, everybody got a different opinion. You have yours, I have mine, everybody else has theirs.
Well, I'm open to hear yours.
It's not religious thing, spiritual thing. Because before they were worshiping one what we call God, it was spiritual worship of everything.
Could you adjust your phone a little bit?
Yeah, that's about as clear as I can get it.
Okay, that's, now you're coming very clear. We got you. Come on.
That's the player with the phone. But everything was spiritual. They didn't use the word religion. It was spiritual. And Amun came from the word Amun-Ra. Ra was the upper Egypt, Amun was the Lord of Egypt. Now, when you go to these churches, even look at reading hymns at the end of them, it says what? Amen.